Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So we're doing this. Nope. So we're doing this. Sorry, mate. Go.
Turn your phone off. Unless, of course, you're listening to the Luke and Pete Show, episode
182.
I wasn't actually asking you to turn your phone off. I just got the phone out of my pocket and I thought I'd better turn mine off. You've probably got better studio etiquette than I have, although I do notice a lot of uncovered water carriers over your side of the desk because you've been interviewing somebody.
Yes, I've been interviewing Mesut Ozil's agent.
Oh,
quite off the press.
I hope you asked him about his decisions.
this is a little bit of extra information. Listeners to the Luke and Pete Show get. I mean, that's not even been announced yet. That is like a good little Easter egg for people.
Very handsome. Just I love men.
Yeah.
I just love men.
When a man is that swish and confident.
Swish. It is swish, isn't it?
Yeah. Does it make you feel a little bit intimidated?
Not really. It makes me sort of think I need more room for white, crisp shirts.
Yeah,
I need well-fitted, white, crisp shirts. Because me, I'm a shorts and, at this point, a Japanese football shirt kind of guy in the summer. But I fear, as I rapidly approach my horrible 40s, as I am going to call them, I will have to turn to the jean and white shirt.
Yeah.
And sunglasses.
You might have to.
And tan.
This is quite an interesting episode for us, Pete, because people
I'll
who
be
are...
judge of that.
Okay, well, we've given ourselves the best chance of making an interesting episode. The situation is, of course, people have been listening to and hopefully enjoying the best of episodes that we put out for the start of the summer because you and I, or a combination of you or I, were away. Mm. And now we are back in the studio, back in the habit, live and direct, as Aswad would say.
With a carafe of water in front of us.
Carafe. It is a carafe as well of water in front of us. And we're back in it. We've still got it. Still got the magic.
Still got the magic. What's been happening?
People have been chipping off, haven't they?
What?
Saying that we're not doing enough of listener emails, which are the best bit. We're going to probably ignore that.
Let's do some listener emails.
But
then.
I haven't seen you in a Luke and Pete setting for a long time now, so I'm interested to know what's changed, brother.
I got soggy in Japan. Somebody made the joke that Japan is so rainy at the moment, Godzilla has retreated back into the sea where it's drier for a holiday in which I spent 10 days on the coast of Kyushu. It basically rained every single fucking day and was a waste of all of my money, time, effort. I did get drunk a lot because that was the only thing to do.
Was it literally raining every day?
It was literally raining every day from the start of the day to the end of the day with maybe an hour's respite per day, if you were lucky, which is rather upsetting when you spend all that money.
What were you able to do instead apart from go to the pub? Do they have pubs?
They have pubs, yeah. Izakayas, they call them.
Are they more like bars, though?
Bars. I took a friend to...
Is there an Irish pub where you were?
Yeah, they're all over the place, aren't they? Mm. The Hub, I think I spoke about it before. The Hub is the big British pub kind of parody.
Is there British like diaspora there? Are there kind of immigrants there?
There's loads. We actually went on the last night in...
Because you've said before, I'm not a big expert in Japanese culture, as you know, but you've said to me on more than one occasion, they don't have a huge amount of immigration there.
No.
But there's enough British people there to sustain a British pub, is there?
No, it's a British kind of pub in the same way that we would visit a French restaurant. They visit it because the beer is quite nice and it's quite busy, and there are enough foreign people for Japanese people to practice their English. That seems to be the case in
Hello,
point.
Ladies.
Hello.
Please come and practice your English ladies. With me. Is that what you say?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you have a sign on the sandwich board around your neck for saying that in Japanese?
Well, actually, the Japanese have got a terrible underpopulation problem. They need more people. They need more immigrants, but they're so closed off. Shinzo Abe began a, you know, like in Peru, I think in Brazil as well, obviously got a big Japanese diaspora. I have a real problem saying that word for some reason, and others too. They offered them like a 5-year visa for anyone, I think fourth generation Japanese. And it's like, yeah, but like, it's 5 years, you know what I mean? Like, come work for us. Do some menial jobs because you're like 18 or 19, and then fuck off back home. It's embarrassing.
So there's no
and in the first 3 months
prospect of renewing it. Or
in the first 3 months, I don't know, but in the first 3 months, literally nobody took him up on it.
Really,
isn't that incredible?
Yeah,
great. From Brazil as well, from Sao Paulo.
Could you engineer yourself into there somehow?
I think if I can't engineer an Irish passport with a Irish great-grandmother, I think I'd find it very difficult to prove any kind of Japanese citizenship or back.
What would be the situation if you wanted to move to Japan?
Your visa sponsored by someone.
So you need a job to go to, perhaps.
You need a job to go to or a language school to teach at, but obviously language schools are very poorly paid.
Right.
And who wants to speak like me, quite frankly?
Yeah, so what else did you get up to?
Why, aye, man. Went to the Hiroshima Museum, obviously.
You appeared on an episode of Set Meals, as we pre-promoted.
Popped in and had a bit of food with Sam, some chicken hearts on sticks, and his co-host said that I spoke a little Japanese, which is correct, technically, but it still burned a little.
You've been practicing it for 15 years. It's outrageous.
It was very nice, and they took us to a beautiful place where they cooked meat,
right,
and it was very lovely. I had a bit of horse meat as well later on in the as well.
What was that like?
The flank was just fat, but it is quite nice, horse meat.
It's interesting they say that. You say that because I always think of a horse as being a very lean animal.
Well, I guess the flank it's just all, I think, the part that they choose to put in the, because it's all uncooked, it's not cooked at any point, so it's just like that. Other stuff I had, certainly, but yeah. Chris Broad from Abroad in Japan, the podcast I did with him, he was trying to taunt me into having some horse, and I'm like, mate, I'll eat anything. You're not testing me.
It's not going to work with you or John, who we work with, because you guys will eat anything.
Put
famously.
Anything in my mouth.
Famously,
yeah. I get a lot of emails about the ice cream Coolish. I mentioned on a couple of podcasts that I enjoy a particular kind of ice cream out there called Coolish that you literally cannot get anywhere other than mainland Japan. And so every single day of the holiday, I enjoyed Coolish, just to get all my Coolish in for the year. But I get a tweet every day or two about somebody in Japan with a picture of Coolish going, "Here, Pete, I'm having some Coolish." So I think I am due some shares in the lotto.
Try and get the franchise for the UK, mate.
Ice cream thing.
There's an ice cream van next to the field on the way back to the...
Oh, maybe he's got a hook up there.
Yeah, maybe you should do that. Just feel for a minute, because I just need to close the curtain, because that's like a light shining off the windscreen of a car, and it's making me blind.
All right, then. What kind of car is it? Describe it to us. An old estate car. What makes an estate car? Is it like bigger than the caboose to keep some dogs in?
An estate is a car that's got like an elongated boot.
Yeah.
So you can get more stuff in it. It's kind of a family car type thing.
Nice, I like it. I've got a quick news story for you, Luke. I'm enjoying this one. On Monday... Nevada Highway Patrol Trooper Travis Smacker.
Good name.
Great name. Pulled over a minivan in the high occupancy vehicle lane. You know, like the kind of carpooly lane.
Yeah.
The HOV. Because nobody else was visible inside except for the driver. Turns out, get this, the driver works for a funeral home and was transporting a body.
So he gets away with it on a technicality.
Well,
does he get away with it or not?
He immediately tells me he's got the remains of a person in the vehicle behind him.
I'd be taking that loophole all day.
Well,
all day long. It's a person.
How many times do you get to admit that to a police officer and not immediately get a gun drawn on you?
If the police officer then said to me, "Well, yeah, but it's not a person anymore because he's dead," I would be like, "How dare you?
How have some respect?"
Yeah,
you put him in a carrier bag, mate.
Yeah,
you put him in a bag for life. Ironically,
just get a little urn, put it on the windscreen.
Yeah, exactly. Smacker. Basically, I kind of glanced in the back and confirmed that. So was this guy just loose about the hoose in the caboose of the estate car, this bloody thing?
Yeah,
anyway.
That's a good story, that. I feel like he should get away with it.
Well, it was in the cargo area. It was a body bag strapped to a gurney. Kind of threw me off a little bit. And then he just made that funny remark, something along the lines of, so he won't count. Nevada's high occupancy vehicle rules do not clarify whether an occupant must be breathing and leans on federal law, which is not much clearer. But the Nevada Highway Patrol trooper, Jason Barachuk, this person was obviously a decedent, and in the cargo area of the car, so they would not qualify in the HOV lane. So if you are thinking of defeating the high occupancy vehicle lane in your town or in your state...
We know you've all seen the film Weekend at Bernie's.
Exactly. It's not going to work this time.
Say the name of the Nevada State Trooper again.
Travis Smacker was the original one.
No, the other name after that.
The second one. Jason Barachuk.
You sound like the girl from Little Mix trying to do that Jamaican accent. Good. That's a good story. And it's also nice to hear a story involving some kind of member of the US law enforcement,
not
which doesn't
killing
end
a black man
in a death
yes.
of someone from an ethnic minority. Good news.
Good news.
The news story I found that sort of caught my eye, and it was partly inspired by a chat that we had with Jim Campbell yesterday. Finnish inventor. And do you know what? When you do this type of show, the last thing you want to be doing is saying Finnish names, because they are the hardest.
Right, okay.
They're the hardest.
Not as hard as the Bardiknik, Polish name that I tried.
So I'm going to have a go at this. Finnish inventor Jana Kapilehto has sailed his self-made floating hot tub across the Gulf of Finland, travelling the 90-kilometre journey from Helsinki to Tallinn in Estonia. In just over 10 hours.
Lovely.
Picture looks great. They're having a lovely old time. One of them's got a Stetson on.
Oh, so it's like, because we had this yesterday.
That's what I'm saying.
With Jim. Me and Jim were having an argument about what constitutes a hot tub. I would argue that is a boat with a hot tub in it, in the same way that there was a stand-up who did a show in Edinburgh that I interviewed once, who exclaimed that he crossed the channel in a bathtub, except it wasn't a bathtub. It was a bathtub that was clearly converted into some kind of boat. It was not a
bathtub.
We need
clarity on this, because that to me is, again, I like the kind of loophole you're talking about there in the carpool lane. I like the kind of loophole like that. I don't like.
No, exactly.
But this guy, to be fair,
he's turned
to him,
it into a catamaran and I'm not having it.
But this guy here, to be fair, it's a self-made floating hot tub. So he's not just got a hot tub and stuck it on a boat.
Yeah.
As far as I know, the video is not available in my country, sadly. I mean, can I just say, it's a video.
Geolocking is frustrating at best.
I can get on board with the idea that you pay £1 billion for rights to something and someone else has paid some other money to have the rights in the other country.
Yeah.
And you don't want a cross-pollination situation. Mm-hmm. I get that. This is a self-made video of a man who's built a hot tub and stuck it on a boat or whatever he's done and sailed it across the Gulf of Finland. I don't think you need to geoblock it.
Joined up. There should be a data set that joins up different versions of the same video that can serve whatever adverts serve that country best. And they should it should replace it algorithmically or dynamically at point of source. When I was watching the when I was reading about the Women's World Cup while I was in Japan, all of the videos were just this is not available in your country. Well, you know what? Don't pretend there's a video there. Then just block that. Just take that content out. Exactly. Remove it. Don't even offer it as an option. You just waste my click. Those little touch pads. They've only got a finite amount of clicks in them.
So's your finger.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like the Tommy
I'll
Cooper,
be dead soon.
Like Tommy Cooper joke when the guy goes to the doctor and says, "Doctor, it hurts here, 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 and here." And he says, "You've broken your finger."
I watched Tommy Cooper die yesterday. I don't know. I watched.
He died on stage.
Yeah, it was. He just sort of crumples.
It's not nice.
It's not nice. Not nice.
I was going to say to you, Pete. Oh yes, one loophole around geo-blocking of video content that I wanted to talk about, but I'm conscious that I might be.
Ill-equipped to do so?
No. I feel like I might be letting the cat out of the bag.
Oh.
I want people to benefit. I don't want to... So people who are listening to this, the Luke and Pete Show tight-knit community, don't go spreading this.
The tight-knitters.
But if you've got a Sky Go account, i.e. you watch Sky Sports on your phone or on your laptop, it works in other countries. It works... When we were in Lisbon recently, it worked there.
Right.
And it worked also in Greece.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, that's surprising, right? Because there will be Greek rights holders in Greece who will probably have something to say about that.
Yeah, you'd think that. Well, I guess
there's no work in the US though.
Would it be? I guess it would be in the reverse. I guess you couldn't get a Greek, whatever their rights holders are, their online version of that, and you couldn't transport it to the UK because obviously the UK is the most expensive one.
I thought it might be an EU thing or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. Anyway, we'll leave you to ponder over that while we take a quick ad break, after which we are going to...
talk VPNs.
Yeah, talk a bit more about download rights mechanisms.
Lovely.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Mechanisms.
See that cat over there? Get your hand off my penis!
We got a lot of emails about Julian Assange.
Julian Assange there.
We got a lot of tweets about Glastonbury.
Oh, good. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, there's loads of flags. Oh, there was one flag at least that got reported a million times to the Luke and Pete Shaw account, at Luke and Pete Shaw on Twitter. Basically, get your hand off my penis!
A lot of people.
This is Democracy Manifest!
A lot of people, this... is Democracy Manifest. A lot of people signing off their emails now, Julian Assange, as well. When you had a little pop at me there, and I noticed about download rights mechanisms.
Okay.
That was conversations we used to have at Sky when I worked there. DRM, they'd call it.
Right, okay.
It would be about how you...
Mechanisms.
I don't know why, because I think it was nascent. It was like trying to stop people doing that.
Well, I know what DRM, because...
I think it's mechanism, isn't it? Download rights management, maybe?
Management.
Maybe that. Anyway.
Management. So stuff your mechanism up, your... mechanism.
And that's what I'll be doing on Monday's show. We've got an email here. Obviously, the email address is hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. So do get in touch. Mm. We've got loads to get through because we've been doing best of episodes and all the rest of it. And we've sometimes, quite frankly, need to have a break. So we went and had a little break.
Suck it.
Suck on that. But this email has come from Sriram, who says, hi, gentlemen. Your talk of childhood games has brought back rather traumatizing memories of a practice that used to be quite prevalent over here in India. Referred to as birthday bumps, it was customary for a group of your friends, and quite often some people who weren't even your friends, to lift you by your arms and legs and kick your backside as hard as they can. So that's interesting, because birthday bumps in the UK growing up wasn't that, was it?
It was on the floor,
sort of throw you up and down by your arms and legs.
It was on the floor kicking. Yeah,
I was. It wasn't that where I grew up. It was an acceptable practice for the victim to receive one kick from each so-called friend for each year the victim had been on the planet.
That's a lot of kicks, isn't it? That is a lot of kicks.
I think it would be fair to say, says Siram, that it wasn't a pleasant experience. Anyway, he says, I was at the receiving end of said game many times, but the year of 2005, when I was 13, especially stands out in my memory. In my school, each student was handed a diary at the beginning of the year, and at the end of the diary, there were a couple of pages reserved for remarks by teachers, and one page for remarks by the principal, which is a headmaster to you guys. The concept being that if a student was being naughty, the teacher would write a remark in said student's diary, which is to be shown and signed off by the parents. So it could be quite terrifying, really. Mm. I mean, I remember hiding all the school reports that I used to get.
Did you? How did you get away with that, though? How did you get away with?
Well, so for the first part of school, obviously, I couldn't get away with it. But as I got a bit older, this is something that's come up in my family time and time again, and my parents kind of get the piss taken out of them a bit by my sister and some of the other family members, because I told my mum at one point that the school had stopped doing school reports for people of a certain age.
Yeah.
And it was all covered by parents' evening. And they sort of believed me.
Right.
And it was only when we moved house, when I was about 18 or 19, maybe a bit younger, that we were cleaning out one of my wardrobes, and they found the, what I told you about before, the plaster cast of my wrist.
Yes.
It was just stinking the place out of the plastic bag. And they found all the old school reports. Ah. But the thing is, the school reports weren't actually that bad. Luke needs to try harder and he spends all this time talking.
A very underwhelming version of Eminem's cleaning out my closet. Yeah. An old plastic cast and some school reports he'd hidden.
I'm sorry, Mama. I never meant to hurt you. You haven't. You've just been a dick. All right. No. Yeah, so it could have been a big deal. So for Shiram, he says, in India, teachers are generally very well respected and a remark would be considered a serious offence and probably lead to serious consequences. A principal's remark was, however, much, much more serious and was reserved for quite serious violations of the school's rules. Ooh. In 2005, during our lunch recess, I put in a valiant effort to escape my friends and avoid getting the shit kicked out of me. Unfortunately, it so happened that it was almost impossible to escape their superior numbers and pack tactics. After the deed was done, I was lying face down on the ground, rubbing my protesting ass, when we hear a familiar voice from up above. It just so happens that my friends had managed to catch me exactly below the office of the principal. Having heard and seen the incident, he summoned all of us to his office with our diaries. Justifiably, my friends all got remarks in their diary stating they had been engaging in violent and illegal activities within the school premises. That's quite serious.
Yeah.
I, on the other hand, received a remark that I had been participating in violent and illegal activities.
That's not
on the
fair.
School premises. You have no idea how difficult it was to convince my parents that I was not part of a gang, but rather had been the innocent victim. To this day, this incident still rankles me, and I would say this is a prime example of what I would term as school injustices. I would love to hear from other listeners about some of the ways in which the school justice system fucked them over. Apologies for the long email. Love the show. Regards, Sriram. Pete, you are annoyed by that. I can tell by your face.
I'm furious. I was told that Indian schools were fantastic. They've got Mufti Day, where everyone everyone can wear what they want on a Friday. Is that right?
I think this reminds me of that Kirby Enthusiasm episode where they, where Larry and the guy who also plays the granddad in Up,
right,
the old guy in Up, gets pissed off because there's Dress Down Friday in the law office, and he says, "Well, I'm not letting you handle any of my accounts or affairs if you're going to dress like that." But yeah, I believe that is correct. Yeah,
and then this happens.
Yeah.
So I thought Indian schools were a place of learning and casual clothes on a Friday. But I did not realise the headmaster, because the headmaster's got loads of cases to deal with every day. But the annoying thing is, it's like when M. Bison visits Chun-Li's village and kills her parents.
In the film. Yeah, yeah.
It says, you know.
Who could forget that the film? Apart from me, till just then.
That was your, you know, that was the defining moment in your life. For me, it was just Tuesday. So for that principal, he just goes, I'll just write a bit. He participated in some crowd violence and some school illegal activity. But to that kid, Sriram, he's like, well, I'm fucked. My mum and dad's going to bloody kick the... I'm going to get two birthday bumps.
And what I would say is...
And it's my birthday.
Yeah, that headmaster should be the man... He's a man of letters, right?
Yeah.
He should be able to interpret a situation.
Exactly.
And see a kid lying face down, getting the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah.
And not write him up for that.
Maybe he thought that Sharam was into S&M. Was it? Maybe it was like a sex cult.
He was a child. Well, what have you, any school injustices that you were on the...
That kids can't get into S&M. Yeah. They don't know everything nowadays.
It's true, actually.
Exactly.
Yeah, they are into everything.
Exactly.
Yeah. Can't understand a word they're saying, can you, these days? Pete, what school injustices befell you? You must have.
I was put into a Boston crab once by a bigger boy. And I tried
is that
to...
the leg one? Because I get confused between that and the cobra clutch. The cobra clutch is under the chin.
Oh yeah,
the Boston crab is like
Boston
the
crab's on the top, like really snapping you in half. It's horrible.
It's like the straight version of the sharpshooter.
Right. Yeah.
Well, they pull your legs right around.
You mean as in like
Bret Hart?
Yeah.
Who did the Boston crab?
I don't know.
Is it Rick the Model Martel? Maybe.
Might have been, yeah.
Anyway,
either way,
describe it to listeners just in case I don't know.
It's just a painful folding up of a man, really. Or a boy.
But the wrong way, right?
Yeah. It's not right. Your body doesn't go that way. It's not designed that way, so to speak.
Who did that to you?
And I would like to point stiff for the record, I was not into S&M.
Who did that to you?
A bigger boy I was running over and slapping on the back. And it turned... Name him. I can't remember. He was just a bigger lad.
In the year above?
Like Broom School. Yeah, he's a couple of years older than me.
What were you doing that then?
I don't know.
Asking for trouble.
Yeah.
Were you showing off?
I was in the lion's cage. I was showing off.
Yeah.
And he came and put me in the Boston crab and it was so painful. I started crying. And then the teacher brought both of us to the principal and the principal asked what went on. And I came up with an amazing story. I was doing gymnastics. I'd done a couple of weeks of gymnastics because my sister was doing gymnastics. So my mum was like, let's palm her off. Jim Lynn, her name was. Her name was Lynn and she did gymnastics at Mental Health Leisure Centre on a Saturday morning.
Right.
Before I graduated to the Royal Lisco on a Saturday. Yeah. And I said, he was helping me with my gymnastics.
Why'd you say that? You should have dubbed him in.
No, because I feared retribution.
Oi, a murder.
And the bigger boy.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly, rules of the playground.
I could imagine all the older kids sat around in their common room smoking cigarettes going, what do you think to this dancing kid? Is he going to stand up? Is he a stand-up guy? Is he going to break? You didn't dob him in at all?
No, I didn't dob him in at all.
What did the older kids say?
I don't know. I never saw that child again. Maybe he was expelled.
Anyway.
Turned to a life of crime.
I'm delighted to say, here he is.
Is that why you close the curtain?
Yeah. So how did they even get you in a Boston crab? He was just so much more powerful than you.
I mean, I reckon... If I walk down the street, there's not a single person who couldn't get me in a Boston crab.
Yeah, I find you quite easy to physically manipulate.
No, I just go limp when you get near me.
Yeah.
Yeah. The path of least resistance. I'm like Gandhi when Randy Luke is around.
Yeah, but because one of the things I remember from childhood, I used to love wrestling until I was about 14 or something. And I used to watch wrestling on VHS tapes at my mate's house down the road. And I remember, obviously then, the next thing you want to do is just practice the moves and stuff. Mm. But I remember when I realised that wrestling was staged, I know it's not, people don't like it when you say fake, but you know what I mean.
Mm.
It's entertainment, effectively. I realised that when I just was able to understand how difficult the moves are to get on someone when they don't want to have it put on them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no way you can get someone a sharpshooter unless they let you.
Yeah.
So you have to then... So what I used to do is you'd be like, okay, let me put a sharpshooter on you there.
Mm.
And they'd be like, oh, all right, but you have to... When I tap out, you have to let me. And then in return, I want to get you in like a cobra clutch or whatever. and that's like... And at that point, you're thinking, hang on a minute. If you can't get a kid in one, there's no way you're going to get a full-grown man into one. So yeah, there we go. Have you got an email there, Peter? I do feel some solidarity with Sriram, though, because it's really, it does affect you because your brain is so susceptible to learning and to experiences at that age. It probably does affect you quite badly when you're on the wrong end of an injustice.
Hugely. Have you seen this one? It's from, is it AEW, which I think is like a new kind of setup run by Dustin Rhodes. And this chap, he's done a coffin drop from Derby. I don't know the wrestler, to be honest, because I've only watched...
Is this going to be horrible to look?
Well, not horrible, just...
Oh, right on the edge!
He jumps off the top turnbuckle, doing a coffin drop, and instead of landing on a flat surface, he lands...
That's a shoulder breaker, isn't it?
With his spine right on the old... on the corner of the mat. I think he's probably got all kinds of problems after that.
Here's a quick example of a school injustice before we move on to another email. At junior school, there was a kid... We used to love football, of course. And there was a kid who loved cricket.
Mm.
And I quite like cricket as well, but I mean, it wasn't my thing. He was kind of known for cricket. And he would do that obnoxious thing that kids would do where you would, you know, like if you're not particularly interested in something, you would then say you hated it. And he actually hated football.
Yeah.
But he would say to like 8 or 9 other kids in our class.
I love Men at Work.
Yeah, no, not that. He was that he hated football. And so then one of the other kids said, oh, well, you know, this is really bizarre, but I promise you it happened. Do you know, Pete, in cricket, when the match is finished, the players run to the middle and grab the cricket stumps as souvenirs before the fans come on the...
Do they? Right, okay.
To grab them.
Right,
if it's like a big game.
Okay.
So if it's like, I don't know, the World Cup final or an Ashes or whatever.
And who takes precedent? Who takes the...
I think it's like, the players who are closest. I think the batsman will get one. Whatever. I don't know. Mm. And so one of the kids in our class at junior school said, oh, yeah, you know why to this kid called Brian, who loves cricket, you know why the players grab the stumps? It's because they run into the change rooms and they shove them up each other's asses, right?
Nice, yeah, like it.
And like...
A lot of time for that.
Yeah, it's classic 10-year-old junior school banter.
Yeah.
Right? He got so upset about that, he like told his parents and then told the teacher, and the headmaster got involved, and all of us... to go into the office of actually it wasn't I don't think it was the head teacher, it was the head of year or whatever it was,
right,
into the office and like explain ourselves. And I remember thinking, well, one, even at the age of like 11, I was
this
like,
this is beneath us, this is beneath you.
One, I didn't even say it. Two, I don't know why he said it. I don't even know if this is a problem, is it? I mean, what's going on? There was no swear words involved, because back then the swear words were the thing. There were no swear words involved, and I felt quite a keen sense of injustice about that.
Maybe the head teacher
but it's never held me back,
it.
Pete.
Maybe the head teacher believed them. What? They do what? I had no idea cricket was so rotten to the core.
Yeah, as we walked in, she was on the phone going, yeah, the cricket team, stop it. Stop the cricket team. We can no longer have a cricket team because we're worried about internal injuries of some of our kids.
It's a sex party. Yeah. I mean, at least you've got one end to choose, and it's very important which one you do choose.
Exactly. Have you got an email before we go, Pete?
Yeah, hello to, who have we got here? Julian Assange. Hello, Luke and Pete. Ever since Playground Games were introduced as a show topic, I've been anticipating mention of one of my childhood favourites, hot rice.
Oh, I saw this one. Yeah, this is an interesting
hot
one.
Hot rice. Having heard no mention of it as of yet, I started to wonder about the popularity of a game I naively assumed was as ubiquitous in UK schools as British Bulldogs. It really wasn't, though. I mean, I've never heard this before, but I've looked at the website that Julian Assange has linked. Of course he's linked. He's Julian Assange. Hot rice is basically a game of tag played with a ball. It begins with a huddle of children who stand in a circle, toe-to-toe with legs spread a little. At least in Leeds, the ball is bounced in the middle in time to a mysterious scatological incantation. And that incantation goes thusly. Hot. Rice. Bounce. Twice. Shit. Pies. Taste. Nice.
Yeah. I have a vague recollection of playing this game.
I don't remember ever being called hot rice.
No, me either.
Or shit pies taste nice, or once, twice hot rice.
And if the ball goes between your legs, you're out, right? And the person left...
Rings a bell, yeah.
I vaguely remember that, because you end up using... Did he say that you end up using your heels as flippers like a pinball machine? Because that's what you kind of do. So, okay. So you like that.
Yeah.
And then you just do that.
Oh, right. To
kick
pivot
the ball out again. But if you get a good purchase on it, you can smash it straight through someone else's legs. Like a nutmeg type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. This is great for this show for this, because I completely forgotten about that game. It would never have come up again ever for the rest of my life if Julian Assange hadn't emailed in.
Wow, so he's there for.
Thank you very
WikiLeaks.
Much.
WikiLeaks.
Any more, if you've got any more childhood games that we haven't mentioned so far, get them in. hello@lukeandpeach.com. Indeed, if you want to email about anything at all, we're all ears, aren't we, Pete?
Yeah.
In the words.
I actually found the childhood school thread a little bit dull.
Do you? Well, maybe don't email about
the hot rice one has got me back in on the plate, so to speak.
Don't email about your childhood experiences unless they were genuinely disturbing or very funny.
Yeah, bloody. If you've ever put a cricket stump up your bum, I want to hear from you. Put a condom on it first.
It has to be good, because
keep
otherwise
it clean, guys.
I have enough trouble getting Pete
use
to work
lube
anyway. Yeah, what are you doing?
Like to say hello to us, hello at lukeandpeachshow.com.
And we'll be back on Monday with another episode of the Pete Donaldson and Luke Moore Vanity Project, the Luke and Pete Show. See you then.
I didn't realise there's any vanity involved in this.
Well, it started out like that, but it's sort of gone now.
It's now a marriage of convenience.
Inconvenience.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.